We're starting a series today that I'm so excited about. Again, this is our year of becoming disciples. And I thought before I break into explaining what that means, I got to show you why we need to be disciples and the benefit in it. So today I want to start a series called From Death to Destiny. From Death to Destiny. And today specifically, I want to talk to you about on this topic, He brought us out to bring us in. How many of y'all know that there's something that God has in store for you, but you're not realizing it yet? Perhaps it's a business, perhaps it's a marriage. Maybe there's, you know what I'm talking about? When Shanae and I, we used to work in the, you can put your hands down, we used to work in banking. And I was a vice president in a bank, and a great job, good job, but the wrong job for me. Are y'all with me? And I knew in my heart, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I just knew it, but I didn't know what. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know why I was alive. I knew, you know, and it just felt like I was going to work to pay bills and, you know, and doing like many of the world, just going to get that dollar to pay bills and that. And I knew there was more to life than that, but I didn't know what. And we were born again. Now, as I look around this building, I'm blown away, but I'm grateful that we went in pursuit of what God had for us. And the Bible describes that there's this whole process in the story of the trek of the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery in Egypt to what was called the Promised Land, this Canaan land. And so that's what I want to begin to teach you about, because it is representative of every believer that God comes and meets you right where you are in sin and death, but His purpose is to take you out of sin and death to bring you into the Promised Land. And many people think that the Promised Land is heaven. It is not. Promised Land, it had enemies, giants, problems there, so we know it's not heaven, but it's a place of where you live out the promises of God for you. And so if you've got a dream, if you know that there's something more in your heart, let me see your hand again. Let me see. Amen. If you don't have your hand up right now, not just because you missed it, but if you don't have your hand up because you're saying, I don't know, I didn't know that there was something more for me, there is. There is. You're alive not because of the passion of your parents, but because of the purpose of God. And most people I find, and from the scriptures, we see many people never walk that out. But my intention and the purpose that this church is here is that you do walk into that destiny, that you walk into that, that you become and be all that God's birthed you to be and to have all He's called you to have and to do what He's called you to do. So that's what we're going to go and show you in the scriptures. And it will, I believe, it will illuminate on the inside of you the journey that we have to take corporately and individually, and what it takes to do that, what it takes to walk out the dreams that God has in store for you. Are y'all with me? If you would, turn over in your Bible, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'm going to look at verse 2, and then I'm going to look at verse 8. Because this journey out of Egypt to Canaan land, it took the children of Israel 40 years, but it didn't have to. And this passage tells us how long of a way it was. And then let me give you another passage that's not in my notes too. And in the back, if you are back there, wave at me so you can hear. I'm going to give them this next passage that's not in my notes. And I looked at it, and I didn't put it in my notes, but I was just going to tell you about it. But I think I want you to see it. Jot this down in the back. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. After we go to Deuteronomy, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to look in the Amplified Bible as well. Here we are in Deuteronomy. Are y'all with me? And the title of my message today is He Brought Us Out to Bring Us In. Look at this. God's explaining here. He's saying it is only 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border, yet Israel took 40 years to get beyond it. So he's saying it's really only it's a short walk, but it took them 40 years to get there. Are y'all with me? And so jump down to verse 8. But look what he says. Behold, I set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and to their descendants after them. So God's intention wasn't for them to die in the wilderness, but His intention was for them to leave bondage and slavery, and I'll explain all this with a diagram, and go into the promises of God. But it took them, the first generation, only a few people made it. Only a couple made it. Joshua and Caleb. Moses didn't even make it. And so what we've got to do, if you've got a dream, a promise, and I promise you that God has more in store for you than what you're experiencing. But to get it, it is going to be a journey, and the Bible outlines what that journey is and what it entails and what it takes to make it through, all right? And so look over in, if you would, if they got it back there, Exodus chapter 13. Make some noise for them in the back. Y'all ain't making enough noise. It's... Thank you. Yes. Okay, watch this. When Pharaoh let the people go, God led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer, for God said, lest the people change their purpose. I've got a purpose for them, but if they see these enemies too early, they're going to forget their purpose when they see war and return to Egypt. They'll go back into bondage. So look at his remedy, verse 18. But God led the people around by the way of the, by the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up marshaled in ranks out of the land of Egypt. So what God's saying here is, he says, I know it's only an 11-day journey, and I know it's a short walk straight this way, but I've got to take you a different route. I've got to take you a route by way of the wilderness. In order to go into your promised land, you're going to have to make two stops. Can y'all put my diagram up here for me? Do y'all have that? Put my, if you would, my diagram, praise the Lord. Yeah, make some noise for them in the back there. Amy, Siva, all of them that work and their whole teams back there. Thank y'all. Now, Egypt is, and to help you remember this, I've made this alliteration here, prison, promises, from prison to promises, problems to provision. And the Bible lets us know this is the way that every person walks into the will of God, the promises of God for their life. That dream marriage, that business, that whatever it is, that family, that life that God has in store for you, the route to it is this way. From Egypt, Egypt is a type, and you'll find this out, everything, you might want to write this down. The Old Testament is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. The New Testament is the old revealed, and the Old Testament is the new concealed. What I mean by that is all these stories that you see in the Old Testament are truths, details of truths. The Bible calls it types and shadows of truths that we read in the New Testament. Every detail is very significant. Every detail, all those stories, all the stuff that they went through are signs and showing us what we'll go through if we do what they did. All of it. Every detail, the places, the time frames, everything has significant meaning. I don't know it all, but a lot of it I do know. And so those are some of the things I want to show you today. And when they get my diagram up here, first of all, know that Egypt, oh, let me read what I have written here, that Egypt to Canaan is a type and shadow of going from sin to the promised land and inheriting God's promises. It is the process of spiritual maturation or maturity from a babe in Christ to growing up in all things into him in the new covenant. The new covenant calls it spiritual maturation. The old covenant calls it this process of going from Egypt to Canaan. But it's the same thing, all right? And I'll show you that throughout this series. But first of all, let's understand what all four of these things are. First, Egypt is a type of being in sin and bondage. All of us are born into sin, so we all start there. All of us start there. Our journey starts when we come out of that. And by the way, you have to leave Egypt. You can't stay in sin and enjoy the benefits of Canaan. Come on, somebody. You've got to leave Egypt. And you'll find out as we go through the stories, go through some of the stuff over the weeks. And again, I encourage you, if you've got a dream, I just compel you to be here and be faithful in that. Or many of you will realize you've gotten stuck in life. Amen. Don't raise your hands, but many of us have. We've gotten stuck in life, stuck in our career, stuck in our marriage. We're stuck, and it's not progressing, and that's not how God made life. We're to grow consistently and continuously, right? So Egypt is a type of being dead in sin before Jesus. But the children of Israel, very interestingly, made it out of Egypt. But everything that happened to them is a type and shadow of getting born and get born again. Are y'all with me? So let me just explain these quickly, and then we'll go. Then we'll read the scripture. All right. In fact, let's go to the scripture now. Go to 1 Corinthians, and I'll go back to the diagram. Because he explains here. Paul explains. Yes. Turn over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 1 through 13, I believe. 1 through 13. I'm going to read it in the Good News Translation. Again, for simplicity, same stuff in the King James or whatever version you like. Just, I like the simplicity of this. Watch what Paul writes here. He says, I want you to remember, my friends, what happened to our ancestors who followed Moses. All right? Moses, you'll see if we read Hebrews, was a type of Jesus. Type, all right? He led the people, right? It says, they were all under the protection of the cloud and all. I want you to circle every time in your Bible you see all, because he's showing the same opportunity is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your color of your skin is, your education, everybody gets the same opportunity to this. All right? Because I know some people like to blame other people for where they are in life. It's a sign of immaturity. If you're blaming your parents, if you're blaming your spouse, God is not going to allow your destiny to depend on anyone else. That would be unfair. Just like he doesn't allow your salvation to be based on any other human being. Well, my husband, don't matter what your husband thinks about this. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, you can get it. And so he keeps saying, he wants you to remember, my friends, what happened to our ancestors who followed Moses. They were all under the protection of the cloud and all passed safely through the Red Sea. Next. In the cloud and in the sea, that was baptism. Baptism of water and baptism of the Spirit. All right. In the cloud and in the sea, they were all baptized, there's all again, as followers of Moses. Next. All ate the same spiritual bread and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock that went before them, and that rock was Christ himself. So again, remember when water came out of the rock in the wilderness? Moses hit the rock and water came out of it. He said, by the way, that rock was Christ. So again, that's what type and shadows are. Type and typology is the symbols and the things that were in the Old Testament are really pictures of the real. They struck the rock, break the rock, and life, eternal water comes out of it. That's a picture. Y'all get what I'm saying right there? But even then, God was not pleased with most of them. He didn't say all here. He said most. And that's a very strong saying right there. Why? He says most of them, so their dead bodies were scattered over the desert. He said because they didn't do it right, they died. God didn't kill them. They died in the wilderness because of what they were doing. Are y'all with me? Now under the Old Testament, he did. Under the New Testament, God is showing us that it's your behavior that will cut your life short. It's you not doing it God's way, right? Now all of this, look at this. Now verse 6, now all of this is an example for us to warn us not to desire, number one, evil things, all right? As they did, he said they wanted the wrong thing, nor to worship idols. An idol is anything that's put in front of God. Are you with me? Shanae makes a great wife, but a horrible God. I make a good husband, but not a good God. Your job, it may be a great job, but it's a horrible God. Money is good for its purpose, but it's not. It cannot be in the place of God. And that's what an idol is. Amen? He said, nor worship idols as some of them did. As the scripture says, the people sat down to a feast, which turned into an orgy of drinking and sex. Come on, somebody. We must not be guilty of sexual immorality. Again, he focuses on this quite a bit because this is one of the things, and particularly in our culture today, many Christians are more discipled by the world and the culture than the word in Christ. And so many believers think that it's all right just to live together, to have sex without being married, and all these types of things. And so he's saying, no, that was the thing that killed many of them. Come on, somebody, hit the person next to you and say, pay close attention to this part. All right? Right, so we must not be guilty of sexual immorality as some of them were. And in one day, 23,000 of them fell dead. Good God. We must not put the Lord to the test, right? He said some of them tested the Lord. And I'll explain all these things as we go. As some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. The snake is always a picture of the devil. Y'all know that, right? And so he said they were killed by the devil because they tested and tempted the Lord. We'll explain all these things. Because he's listing here, these are the things that caused them not to walk into their promised land. Are y'all with me? We must not complain. One translation says they murmured. Murmured, right? Complain as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. All these things happened to them as examples for others, that they were written down as a warning for us, for we live at a time when the end is about to come. Next. If you think you are standing firm, you had better be careful that you do not fall. I love this passage right here. Because many believers think, oh, I already know all that, Pastor Stokes. I already know them Proverbs. I read the Proverbs last month. I already did that. Pastor, I already understand faith. Yeah, I already got that. He says, he's talking to you. This is an ongoing process. This is a process that you can never, the process of discipleship and going to Mount Sinai to get the word is a process that you'll have to do for the rest of your life. And one of the main things that the devil will try to do is make you think you already know what he's going to say, so I don't need to be there. And the day that work becomes more important, the day that your sleep becomes more important, any excuse comes in front of getting the word of God, I'm telling you that thing will become an idol for you. God always wants, now listen, don't be under condemnation. If you have to work on Sundays, I get that. You've got to work on Sundays. Don't call in sick and all that. Start praying and telling the Lord. Again, that is why we put our messages on the internet, but it is not as good as being here in person. You need to be in the corporate, and we'll go through all that. We'll find all that out as he's telling them in the how to get into the promised land. Being in church together collectively is a part of it. Amen. If you think you're standing firm, you'd better be careful that you do not fall. Last verse. Every test, watch this. Every test that you've experienced is the kind that normally comes to people, but God keeps his promise. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. Now, are y'all with me? Make some noise for God. He's explaining to us that this is a process to make it into your promised land. As I already read you, it's a short way, but God has to take you by way of, there's two things. Can y'all put my diagram back up there for me if you would? There's two things in between you and God's provision. Two things in between you getting to where God, what everything that God has for you, there's two places you must go through. You must stop. The first place is Mount Sinai. All right, let me back up. Let's talk about Egypt first. Egypt is when you're in sin, all right? It's a type of being dead in sin before Jesus. Look over in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 through 13. Y'all good? Y'all learning already? Okay, watch this. While they were still in Egypt, God gave them the lamb. Told them to get in. Here, let's just read it right here. While they're still in Egypt, right? Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. The lamb. Who is the lamb? Jesus. It's a picture of each household while in slavery, while in Egypt, getting Jesus. You get Jesus while you're in sin. All right? They got him there. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, notice every detail, get a lamb for every household of the Israelites, right? And he said, if the household is too small for the lamb. Notice what he didn't say, if there's a family too big for a lamb. What he's saying is the lamb has everything your family needs. In fact, it has too much. If there's too much lamb for your family, get the family next door and share it with them. There is more than enough healing for whatever disease your household has. There is more than enough peace. There's more than enough joy. There's more than enough. The lamb has every single thing you need. And before you get out of Egypt, you got to get this lamb. Watch the direction that he says. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. Find out what you need and get it from the lamb. Watch this. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Jesus was the lamb without blemish and spot, right? You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Next. Take care of them until the 14th day. Get the lamb in your house on the 10th day. What's going to happen when you get a one-year-old lamb in your house? They're going to fall in love with it. Have you ever seen the lambs on the commercial? They're cute, just like a little cute puppy. Get a baby lamb and get it in the house and let the kids fall in love with it. Let everybody fall in. Let your wife. Everybody fall in love with it. Take care of it until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then kill it. Do y'all get what he's saying? Everybody's falling in love with him, and now you're going to kill him. Who's going to kill him? Y'all going to kill him. Y'all get that? Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they do what? Eat the lambs, consume the lamb. That is the first Passover, that is communion. When Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, it was all from here he got that. Eat the lamb. This is how you're going to get delivered. Watch, let's read it. He says that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire. Watch this. Along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. That was that bread that y'all had in communion today, right? Unleavened bread. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water. Why he's saying that? He says you must kill it and cook it. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he says, I thirst. Why? Because the fire of the wrath of God was going in him. Again, that's a type and shadow of it there. Don't eat it raw. Eating Jesus raw is eating him without killing him. It doesn't take into account his death, burial, and resurrection. And all religions take on Jesus' principles. All good religions do. You get when I say good religion, they won't get you to heaven, but they just are morally good. Do right, do good, and you get it? But that's not what Christianity is. What Christianity is that there was a Savior that came who was innocent of sin, who took on your sin, and then we killed him. Are y'all with me? It was a great exchange at the cross, and that's what he's referring to here. So don't eat it raw. Oh, we just got to do what Jesus did. No, you've got to eat the lamb. You've got to take on the lamb. Eat him, right? All right. Do not eat meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Roast the whole thing. Eat all of them. Watch this. Do not leave any of it till morning. He said, if there's too much lamb for you, if some is left till morning, you must burn it. What is he saying here? Don't let any benefit go unclaimed. Listen to me, saint of God. You cannot let healing sit on the shelf while you die with some sickness. You cannot let healthy family sit on the shelf while your family gets destroyed. There are promises, and you've got to eat all of it. Are y'all with me? Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left in the morning, you must burn it. Next. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He says, listen, here's how you're going to eat it. Eat it with your clothes on, your belt tight, staff in your hand. Get the kids' bags packed, because when you eat this lamb, you're about to go on a journey. You cannot stay in Egypt once you eat the lamb. You're coming out of the bondage that you're in when you get Jesus. You can't stay in sin and bondage when you get Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague, no destructive sickness, no disease, no lack, no poverty. I will pass over you. No destructive plagues will touch you when I strike the world. Come on, y'all. We're the people of God. We should not be living in the mess that the world is. Blood will be a sign for you. Amen. All right. Is that the last one? I think it is. Yes. Yes. All right. Y'all get that? So let's explain what all these types are. Egypt then is a type. Oh, I did that. Did y'all see? When they ate the lamb, that's a sign of you getting Jesus, getting born again. All right. And then if y'all remember the trek, and I'm not going to go through all the details today of this. I've got several weeks. I'm going to be here every week. And you need what I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you, if you want to make it into your Canaan land, that business, that marriage, that whatever, this is the way you have to go, all right? Amen. Two stops in between Egypt and Canaan. Throw my diagram back up there for me, if you would. Thank you back there, Courtney. Two stops, two places you must go before you get to the place of provision, the place of abundance, Canaan land. The first place is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where you learn the promises and the principles. All the promises come with principles. Are you with me? The promises come with a corresponding principle. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The promise. The principle that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Just because Jesus died doesn't mean you don't perish. You have to believe in him. Healing is a promise, but just because God promised it doesn't mean you get it. There are principles that go with the promise. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. So we have to stop at Mount Sinai. Here was one of the main problems with the children of Israel, and this is why we've got to spend this year understanding this. Mount Sinai, I wrote here, it is a type of getting God's word, the promises and principles. It is the process of spiritual maturation where a convert becomes a disciple. Look over in Exodus chapter 20. This is where the Ten Commandments, and again, this is a picture. God said, Moses, get the people and get them all together. I want to speak to them. I want to talk to them. I want to have a relationship with him. If I read all the chapter to you, you'll see this. And the chapter before, God says, I want to set you up on eagle's wings. I want to be a God to you and you be a people to me. I want you to be a special priesthood to me alone. I want you all to be a special people for me, all right? You're all right. Y'all can look right up here. My security's got all that. Amen? He says, all right, so God wanted them. They had, in order to make it to Canaan, your first stop must be Mount Sinai, where you get the word and the principles, because that word and those principles are necessary for you to make it through the wilderness. Your second stop is the wilderness. That's the place of testing, but you're going to have to get the principles first. All right, so that was their first stop. But look what happened to them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. You remember Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. Then they said, after God started giving them the Ten Commandments, guess what they said? Then they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us. If you don't hear the word of God on a consistent basis, you're not going to make it into the promises of God. And right there is their first problem. Right there is their first mistake. And I can show you some of the battles and stuff that they had before they got there. The battle that they had first was not trusting them, but trusting God. And we'll get to all the details. I got to just give an overview today because of time. Are y'all with me? But I'll show you all these details. They had to recognize first, we have to trust God. What God says is true. And God's saying, I got to talk to you. And they said, please don't talk to us. Talk to Moses and let him tell us. Listen, I'm a pastor, and the fivefold ministry is for a purpose, but our purpose isn't to replace God's voice to you. We are to train you to do the work of the ministry. All right, and we'll get to all that, amen? But y'all see the problem here. Then they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will hear, but let not God speak to us lest we die. If God talks to us, we're gonna die. Just the opposite. Go to the next one. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. Oh, all right, this is important too. And that his fear or reverence may be before you so that you may not sin. You've got to revere God so that you don't get into sin and die. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where Moses was. And you remember Joshua was with him as well, amen, at the foot of the mountain. So the first stop in just quick review, we'll cover it just a little bit this week. Next week is where I'm going to really delve into this. So the first place was to get the word, where discipleship occurs. You've got to learn the word, amen, and the principles that go with that. That's an ongoing process. The second stop, diagram if you don't mind. I'm getting that diagram flipping back and forth. The next stop is the wilderness. Remember what God said. We read it already. He says, yes, the promised land, Kadesh Barnea, is only 11 days away. It's right there. He says, but I can't take you that way. I got to take you around the way of the wilderness. I got to take you through the wilderness because you must be tested first. Why? Because if you get over there, the giants are too big there. You'll be killed if I walk you right into that business, into that marriage. Many of us are praying for things and believing for things that, thank God, he hasn't given them to you yet. All of us have an inheritance, but I can tell you that there's two places that I know of in the Bible where they received their inheritance prior to the wilderness and lost it. Number one, the children of Israel. They received that wealth. Remember, God had them go before they left Egypt. Before they ate the lamb, go get money from the Egyptians because y'all getting ready to go. And they did. They went and the Egyptians gave them all their gold, all their stuff, gave them everything. That night they went home and ate the lamb. Are you with me? Guess what? That money, when they got to Mount Sinai, what did they do with all that gold? They made it, turned it into a golden calf. They began to worship the gold that God had given them. That was part of their inheritance, but because they hadn't been tested yet and shown to trust God and not the money, they turned the money into a god. Do y'all see the type there? They began to worship the gold because that was what was really in them. But the wilderness is to bring out what's really in you. How many of you know we don't really know what's in us until we get tested? Oh, I know you say, I will trust the Lord. I will love the Lord. Peter said it like this, I will never deny you, Jesus, till we got into a testing. Are y'all with me? And so the wilderness, we're going to see it, is, I put it here as problems, but that's the testing place. It is a type of living out the word, doing the word you've learned. It's the place of testing to see if you will believe or not. It is the place to find out what's really in you. Now, all of us think we, I shouldn't say it like that, I don't want to offend you, but many of us think we're more mature than we are. We're more capable than we are. And that's why they give tests in school, and that's why you have to go from one grade to the next grade. And that's why they take SATs, that to place you in the right place. But for most of us, oh, I already know that, I got that. Listen, let me tell you something. God knows better. And if you understand kids, if you've got kids, you get this. Kids, you know, they do good when they're in your manifested presence. And they say, yes, sir. They do what you say. They do everything you say when you're standing right there with them. And we'll get into this wilderness, but this is what the wilderness test is all about. It's God, and I have to show it to you in the scriptures. Don't panic about what I'm about to say right here. God will, he'll never leave you or forsake you, but I can show you in the scriptures, well, he'll make it feel like his manifested presence isn't with you. Like with my kids, I can say, hey, don't do this while I'm sitting here in the family room with them, or I'll watch, don't watch these channels right here. Don't watch that. Right? While I'm sitting right there, yes, sir, no, we'd never do that. Let me go into my bedroom, though. When I'm not watching, I'm still there, but they don't see my manifested presence. I'll find out what's really in their heart when they don't see me. And that's what the wilderness is for. And I want to show you in the scriptures, because it happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus, it happened to Paul, it happened to everyone that we see this testing, and they all have to go through this wilderness. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. So God doesn't tempt us, the devil does, but God tests us. All right? And so, are y'all with me? And again, I want to show you this in the scripture so you clearly see it, you clearly understand. The problem with the children of Israel is in that testing period, they never learned to trust God. They always trusted themselves or wanted to go back to Egypt. So what happened? They got stuck around the same mountain in life. And here's how good God is. God will give you the test again. But look, it doesn't matter if you marry another spouse. You can leave that spouse and go to another one. If you don't learn what you needed to learn about respect, about marriage, about honor, about sexuality, if you don't learn it in the first one, you're going to have to figure it out in the second one. And it don't matter what the last, what. Listen, sister, it doesn't matter your last name. You can jump from church to church. You can jump to any church you want to. But the tests that you need in life, they're going to come again if you don't pass it. And listen, God's got eternity, you don't. You only got so many years here. Now you'll make it to heaven. Y'all get it? The children of Israel made it to heaven. Canaan land, they had eaten the lamb. They were born again. They just died of foolishness in the wilderness, like many of us have and will if you don't get what I'm telling you right here. Come on, somebody. Good God, I'm preaching good. So are y'all with me in this place? Amen. So next is the promise, the Canaan. Let's go to Canaan, the fourth one, and then I'll put the verse up there. Y'all see Canaan? Y'all remember it? Y'all remember Canaan is the fourth part, right? So you got to go from sin and darkness to get the word, be discipled. Then you got to be tested in that word. Jesus was tested for 40 days and 40 nights. Children of Israel, 40 years. Moses, 80 years. Mm-hmm. Paul, 3 years. Are you with me? John the Baptist lived and died in the wilderness. All right? We're going to look at all these examples and understand what happened, all right? But come on, how many of y'all this has got your attention? You're tired of getting stuck. You're tired. You're ready to walk into what God has for you. Okay, so the first stop is Sinai. Get discipleship in the word. Next is the wilderness. That's testing. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on that so you understand how these tests occur and how you get past it. Finally is the promised land. That is the place of provision. It is a type. Canaan is a type of living in the promises and provision of God. It's not heaven because giants, enemies, and problems are there. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1 and verse 20. For us, for the Old Testament believers, for Moses, they were under Moses, their promised land was a physical land. They were going to a promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to read some of that before we get out of here. Because all those things, again, are types and shadows of our promises. It lists 7 promises for every believer in their Canaan land. And I'll show you those in a sec before we get out of here today. But our promised land, watch this, for all the promises of God are where? In him. Our promised land is being in Christ. We inherit the promises only in Christ. And as I shared in the series with you before I came to this series, our last series, and I encourage you, if you haven't been here over the last month or two, I taught on a series called True Christianity. What true Christianity is knowing Jesus, knowing him personally. And that's where all the promises of God are. They're in God. They're in him. They're in knowing him. All the promises of God are in Christ. In him, yes, and in him, amen. All the promises. You say, well, I wonder if healing is for me. Yes, and amen. I wonder if abundance is for me. Yes, and amen. I wonder if peace is for me. Yes, and amen. All the promises of God are, and I'm going to give you 7 of the promises that are listed in this Canaan land, all right? Let me show you this other passage, Acts chapter 17, just to validify that. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I just want you to see, for us, the promised land is being in Christ where we get all the inheritances. We get all the inheritances. Amen? All right, now, let's do this quickly. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Y'all with me? Can y'all get, it's 45 right now, 11:45. Can y'all give me these last 15 minutes? Undivided attention, because this, just let me read this, because I want to cover this, because I got so much next week that I got to show you. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Amen. And then I'm going to jump over to chapter 7. I'm going to read most of chapter 6, but I want you to see, listed in chapter 6 and chapter 7 are seven promises for every believer in their promised land. Every one of us get this. Here's what it is. Are y'all with me? Now, this is the commandment. Now, watch. He says, now, there's some requirement for this. You just don't get the promise without the principle. And you're going to be tested on this. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments with the Lord, with which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, and that you fear the Lord. That means revere the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. First promise is in number one, you're getting a land. You're getting a promised land. Second promise is in number two, that your life be prolonged. Promised land number one, prolong life number two. He says, if you do this, you're going to live a long time. Get out of your mind that God has a set day for your death. You determine that day based on your wisdom or foolishness. You get hooked up with the wrong people, you're going to cut your life short. We already read some of it today in Proverbs. You don't honor your mother and your father, you can cut your life short. And there's a litany of those. We won't take the time to do that right now. But you see it right there, Arben. So long, prolong life number two, right there. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Third promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. I got a promised land for you that's in Christ. Number one, prolonged life. And then I've got a land flowing with milk and honey. Land flowing with milk and honey is a picture of abundance. God has prosperity for you. Promised land, prolonged life, prosperity. Come on, y'all like this alliteration? You like all these? Amen. Prosperity, a land flowing, and again, I don't have time today. I just want to cover it. We'll go into the details of this as we study this out, all right? Number four, let's go on to the next verse. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one. Lord is one. Next. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He's saying, I got to get this in your heart. Not just know it, but in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. He's saying this is a way of life, not just something to learn to get something. This is your lifestyle now. Amen. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. What he's saying is, keep this in your hands and your eyes. Live this way. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Mm-hmm. So it shall be, verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers. Look at this. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. What you're going to see in verse 10 and 11 is grace. He's going to say, you're going to walk into houses that you didn't build. Unearned favor. You're going to get what you didn't deserve. Promise number four is unearned favor, grace. That's something for you to expect. Watch this. Houses full of good things which you didn't fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. He said, you're going to walk into opportunity that you're not even qualified for. You're going to walk into homes that you're not qualified for, that you did, but it's going to be given to you. You're going to walk into the garage and those dream cars that you never thought you'd be able to get, I'm going to give that to you. Unearned, undeserved favor. You get it because you trust me. Now, he gives a lot of warning with this. He says, if you start trusting that stuff, if you start looking and seeking after that, you're going to miss it. You get me, and I'll give you the stuff. You go after the stuff, you lose everything. Houses full of some good things. All good things which you didn't fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten are full. Look what comes with this promise. Then beware lest you forget. He says, when your pockets are full and your belly's full, it's easy to forget me. Yeah. which is why I got to take you through the wilderness so you learn to trust me and not the money. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning? Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Jump to my next verses. I think I skipped a little bit. Yeah, oh, yeah. You shall fear the Lord. That always means revere the Lord your God and serve him. And you shall take oaths in his name. Next. You shall not go after other gods. Remember, idols are when you put anything before your love for God. None of us will admit to that. All you got to do is look at your life. If anything is more important than God in your life, let me tell you how you know. You don't come to church. You don't read the word. You don't have time. I ain't got no time for that. Come on, you don't give, you don't tithe. Those things are not, you don't worship. You don't praise God. Thank you, baby. You don't do any of that. Why? That's not important. I don't need to tithe. I got this. Are you seeing? You put yourself over God. God says, no, you bring me the first because I'm the one who gave you it all to you, including the breath that you're breathing. Well, I ain't got no time for that. Or you make up with a bunch of foolish excuses about how broke you are. The reason you're broke is because you're not putting him first. Am I yelling? I mean to be sweet and nice. Tell that person that's sitting next to you, say, just straighten up your face. He's not usually this mean. I can see y'all. He said, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Come on, y'all. God, hear that. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Again, these are types. He's saying this is going to cut your life short if you start putting other things before God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Again, I'm not going to take the time this morning to go, but I got to show you what tempting the Lord means. All right, all that. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he commands you today. That means just get the word and live the word. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers. He said, he's telling you these things so it works out well for you, and you're able to possess that business, that home, that family, that dream, that peace, that health, that prosperity. He said, I want to get you there, but I know how to do it and do what I say. Watch this. Here's promise number six. To cast out, or did I miss one? Hang on. Cast out your, oh yeah, grace. We did grace, right? 10 and 11. Cast out your, and you shall, yeah, to cast out all your enemies before you as the Lord has spoken. Promise number six, cast out all your enemies. Come on, y'all, this is good news. Enemies of broke, enemies of depression, enemies, all those kind of enemies. He says, I'm going to cast all those out. How many of you got some enemies that you could be? Some of them are internal, some of them may be people, some of them may be stuff. Come on, some of you married your test. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'll save that for wilderness in a couple weeks, all right, in a couple weeks. Watch this. He says, look at this. He says, when your son asks you in time to come, why do we tithe? Why do we go to church so often? Why do we do that? Why do we pray? Why do we do that? He says, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Why do you do that? When your kids start asking, why do we have to go to church? Why are we not allowed to go and do all the stuff that our friends do? Why can't we do that? He says, then you shall say to your son, your kids, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We were tore up from the floor up, son. We couldn't live in a house like this. We couldn't have driven cars like this. We couldn't have had a business like this. Our life was so tore up, you don't even know how messed up your mom and your dad was, son. It was the Lord that put us in this house. And it's not going to happen for you unless you do it this way. It's not. I know we made it look easy, but I'm telling you, it was the Lord that's favor. His favor is upon us. Look at this. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against all of our enemies, all of the things that were coming against us, the sickness, the poverty, the lack, the depression, all and all his household. Then he brought us up out from there that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. Why do we do this? Because God did this for us. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. What you see today is a result of what God has done in my life. That's why we come to church. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we give our first to the Lord. That's why we serve in the house of God. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, who knows where we'd be right now? Somebody throw your hands up in this place. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would have been divorced long a time ago. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be broke out on the street with a sign in my hand. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be in some homeless shelter. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be in some hospital. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would you be? Jump over to chapter 7. Jump over to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Oh, God, I don't know. Y'all all right? Come on, this is the first Sunday. Just give me some leeway here. Verse chapter 7. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess. Come on, y'all say it. I'm going into my land. Come on, y'all got to know that. You got to say that. You got to know that. We're not staying where we are. You're not staying in broke. You're not dying in the wilderness. You're not getting stuck in bad marriage. You're not getting stuck in depression. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore, which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the mosquito bites, the Cancerites, the broke-ites, I ain't got no money-ites, I'm confused-ites. Y'all get it? The got laid off-ites, the I can't make it-ites, my kids acting up-ites, my boss is crazy as boop-ites. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When stuff jumps off, that negative doctor reports-ites. When all those enemies come against me, you see what it, when the Lord your God brings you into the land, which is cast out all them ites, the Jebusites. Go to the next one. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. When cancers and stuff that's bigger than you, when he casts it off of you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. He says, don't start hanging out with the wrong people and making covenants with them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. He says, don't get hooked up with some bozos. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. They will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused. Do y'all get how important it is, the friends you hang around? Don't just get with a roommate because they pay half the rent. You don't have any idea how they're influencing you, and that's why you're sick, that's why you're broke, that's why you're depressed, that's why you can't get out of the problems you're in. It's the people you're closest to. Lose those losers. Yeah. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Next. Yes, yes. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. You're saying what he's saying? Get rid of all that junk that you're putting before the Lord. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above, I love this, all the peoples on the face of the earth. You're special to God. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Next. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Say, that's me. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy him. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. God don't have to go around your back. You'll know if it's God straightening them out. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord, which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass. Here's where I'm trying to get you. Because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them. Hit the person next to you and say, please do these things. That the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Next, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. Here's the next promise. The fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine, your oil and the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock and the land which he swore to your fathers. Next, to give you. Keep going. You shall be blessed above all peoples. Watch that. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, among your livestock. Blessing for your family, your children, and increase is the sixth blessing. Come on, somebody. Do y'all want that? All your stuff blessed. Increase. Keep going. And here's the seventh promise right here. Okay. And the Lord will take away from you some sickness. Most sickness, the little ones, all sickness, everything that includes. If you've got a loved one that's bound with something in your household right now, no, that's your answer right there. Look at this. And will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Tell the person sitting next to you, say, you better be nice to me. Say a little ghetto. Push them. Listen, also you should destroy all peoples whom the Lord delivers over to you. All right, jump down to verse 20, for time's sake, because I'm running out of time. I'm out of time. Jump down to verse 21. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations, all that stuff. Watch this. This is what I want you to see. Before you, little by little, and you will be able to destroy them at once. Now, here's why you need to be here consistently. Are y'all listening to me? It's going to come gradually. But what happens with most... they win in one battle and they think they got it now. Mm-mm. Your life is going to go from one test to the another. Remember, God took them straight to the Red Sea. They thought that it was over. He parted the Red Sea. 3 days later, they're crying about we're thirsty. Then right from there, after he turned the water, the bitter water into sweet, right from there, we're hungry. It was from one test, and he says, I let you hunger so I could give you manna. I let you go thirsty so I could give you water out of a rock. In other words, I'm going to be your answer to every problem, but you're going to have to learn to trust in me. But it's going to happen gradually. Come on, y'all. Say, this is a lifestyle. And you need to be sitting your tail in that seat every week. Hit the person next to you. Say, stop playing. Look at, he says, and the Lord your God will drive out all those problems, all those issues before you little by little. Don't panic if it's not gone tomorrow. It's going to go. But are you going to stay persistent? Come on, somebody. You know it. You already know. It didn't work out. Yes, it is working out. Y'all see it right there? Drive out those nations little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. He's saying there's a lot of stuff. You can't even see it all right now. So he's going to take them one at a time, little bit by little. But the Lord your God will deliver them. over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. That's what I wanted you to see right there. They are going to fall down. Say, every enemy is going to fall down. Close your Bible. That's enough.